I'm talking today with Dr. Chris Davey, who is the head of mood disorders research here at Orygen, the National Centre of Excellence in Youth Mental Health. Thank you for your time, Chris.
Oh, good. Pleased to talk to you.
Now, you've co-authored a For Debate article for the 16th of May NJA on antidepressants. And basically, it's not a very pretty picture, is it? We don't think that you're finding that they're not as effective as we once thought they were. And what does that mean in terms of the care we're giving to people with mental health issues?
Yeah, that's right. It does. It is a slightly concerning picture in that, you know, we rely on antidepressants as our main treatment for depression in Australia. We, you know, prescribe more antidepressants than almost any other country in the world. But the more we get the research findings that collates all of the different studies into meta-analyses, we find that the medications aren't really that effective.
Why are we prescribing them more? Is it just an easy solution in many ways?
I mean, we can only speculate. I mean, I suspect that's partly it. You know, depression is a really common problem.
Yep.
People are possibly more likely to seek treatment for their depression. I think, as a really positive part of all this, there is less stigma now than there used to be. And I guess the thing that doctors think about first in treating depression, for better or worse, is antidepressant medications. And look, and part of that is because, you know, they were heralded as, you know, this great treatment for depression, huge marketing effort. I mean, early studies were really promising. They seemed to be really good treatments. But as time has gone on, we realise they aren't as good as we once thought. They're also not as bad as our critics, you know, the critics might suggest they are.
Yeah.
They're not absolutely useless, and I think that's important to emphasise.
Is it a diminishing effect?
That is really what they're recording for the antidepressants, a diminishing effect, which isn't unlike other treatments in medicine. Over time, there tends to be this trend to show treatments become less effective.
Is that a placebo effect happening there?
So for depression, it does seem to be the placebo response is a part of it. I mean, there are a few reasons. I think, one of them is that, especially in the past, trials with negative findings weren't published. So there's the file drawer problem where the negative trials were buried. But, you know, they've been uncovered now because they generally are registered with the regulatory bodies and people
yep.
have been able to find them. And when you include that data in the analyses, you can it obviously reduces the effects of the medications.
Yep.
I mean, a second reason, and again common to other treatments in medicine, is that the earlier trials tend to be sort of more conducted in a more highly controlled environment where you get these sort of fairly middle class, uncomplicated, motivated patients to enrol in
yep.
the trial.
So the real world effect is less.
That's right.
Yep.
And then as time goes on, you roll out the studies into the real world populations, like you say, who, you know, have comorbid problems with anxiety, excessive alcohol use, all the stresses and strains of life, and they don't tend to do as well. And then, you know, I think in depression, it seems to be particularly sensitive to the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the placebo effect does seem to be getting stronger in depression. It's a good question. So I guess, you know, the placebo response has a couple of components. You know, one is this regression to the mean idea, or this sense that if you get people on first measurement who have a particularly sort of extreme outcome on any measure, then when you measure them the second time, they tend to have returned close to average. And I think that's the case for depression. Depression tends to get better with time. But there's also this sort of positive expectation bias. You know, that's a big component of the placebo response. Expecting to get better, we know now, is one of the ingredients that helps you to get better. And I think that's, you know, depression's particularly sensitive to that. And my own sense is that feeling hopeless is a really sort of core symptom of depression. And any treatment is hope. You know, it gives you hope that you're going to get better, and you're really kind of directly addressing the symptom of depression with the placebo treatment, and people are expecting to get better, and they do. But as to why the placebo is becoming even more powerful in depression, well, that's a good question. One theory that I think carries some weight for the placebo in depression is that perhaps this expectation they're getting better with medication is greater now than it used to be. We are all privy to this kind of culture that suggests that we can get better from depression by taking a pill, notwithstanding the evidence that's emerging in the journals, which of course most patients don't read. But there is this sort of cultural sense, I think, that we can get better from depression with the medication, and so people are primed to get better when they're taking a pill, whether it's the medication or the placebo pill.
Is the same thing happening in terms of psychotherapies? Are their effects diminishing as well?
They are. So the psychotherapies, when the earlier trials were published, had these, really implausibly large effect sizes, really, but they were particularly effective. And again, it's that sense that people who have developed the therapies, who are motivated to show they work, who are using the therapies in a more, select patient group, all these sort of unconscious biases, really, that favour showing that the therapy works. Whereas more recent trials, again, more real-world patients who have more complexity, who are perhaps less motivated, has brought their effectiveness down. The other thing with psychotherapies is, especially with the early trials, they had much sort of looser designs. So all the criticism you can directed medication trials, and there are many, they're generally conducted with a fair bit of methodological rigour. It's easier to blind a medication trial than it is a psychotherapy trial. But there was this principle of intention to treat, so you analyse the outcome of those patients according to which group they were assigned, whether or not they actually got the treatment, which wasn't always the case in psychotherapy trials, and there wasn't a high degree of blinding. Often they either got the therapy or no treatment at all. They often just left on a waiting list, which are all things that make it much more likely that therapy is going to be effective. But when you do the things you do for medication trials, when you have adequate blinding, where you actually compare the psychotherapy to some other sort of active control treatment, which might be just having someone talk to a research assistant or a clinician for the same length of time each week. When you put all those factors into the trials, and the psychotherapy is also, they're still effective, like medications. They're clearly more effective than the placebo treatments, but they're just not really effective.
The combination of the two, antidepressants plus psychotherapies, is that still the most effective treatment we have for depression?
Yes. I mean, the combination of those two together are at least in adults, clearly more effective than either alone. And I guess that's one of the things that we really wanted to emphasise in this article, that the treatment of depression doesn't start and stop with antidepressant medications. Mm-hmm. We want to make it clear that it's sort of one component of an overall treatment plan. And that, in most cases, really should include a recommendation for psychotherapy. I mean, there are reasons why you might not do that. A big one is because psychotherapy isn't always readily available. But there aren't very good reasons in most cases why you wouldn't recommend that someone consider psychotherapy, either alone or in combination with the medication. But I think the opposite is more often the case, that people are recommended. It's recommended that people take a medication alone without a consideration of combining it with psychotherapy.
Has the Better Access to Mental Health Care initiative helped in terms of access to psychotherapies?
I think it has. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that we've got some really good hard data about to what degree more people are accessing therapy, but the data we do have suggests that they are. There's the same sort of problems we always have with the Medicare system, which is where private practitioners tend to locate themselves in the inner city, leafy, wealthy suburb that you could argue need them least. Of course, there's lots of depressed people in these suburbs who do need psychotherapists. But the regions where depression is most prevalent, outer suburban, rural, remote, so regions have very little access to psychotherapists, and that's probably the main criticism of the Better Access to Mental Health Care schemes. It's maybe acting to further concentrate advantage in these more privileged areas.
So what's the message to GPs here?
So I think, the overall message is to really consider that, medications are one treatment amongst a number of treatments for depression. Look, sometimes they might be effective alone. There are patients who will respond simply to a medication, but there's a large number of patients who won't. And for them especially, it's just to consider the other treatment options. So that would be, you know, principally, I suppose, combining the medication with a psychotherapy and offering, you know, a referral to someone who offers an evidence-based psychotherapy. But it also might include, you know, addressing lifestyle factors, which are obviously germane to lots of illnesses other than depression. There is good evidence that people with depression respond to exercise plans, to eating better. As yet, I'd say the evidence isn't there to suggest that these could be standalone treatments that would be enough to do that by itself without anything else, but they can only help when added to other treatments. And then there's sort of emerging evidence that that other more benign treatments might help with depression. So adding things like fish oil and vitamin D might augment the effects of antidepressants. So I guess the overall message is to see, you know, antidepressants as one component of an overall treatment plan for depression and not the be-all and end-all of treatment.
Is there a magic bullet coming that we haven't seen yet? Or is it just part of the human condition that we're going to be depressed sometimes?
I don't see a magic bullet coming. I mean, there are a few reasons for that. Yeah, one of them is, I think, you know, depression, I think most people would agree, is clearly a heterogeneous condition. You know, it's something like we might have considered fever or, you know, dropsy or something like that in the past, which is now we recognise a symptom that has multiple causes. And I think depression is clearly something like that. We're just not at the stage of being able to very effectively differentiate subtypes of depression. And possibly when we do have clearer markers of X type of depression versus Y type of depression, we might be able to direct treatments at them. But, you know, the drug companies have largely moved out of the field of developing treatments for depression and other mental health conditions. The treatment failures, they've spent so much money on developing treatments that haven't gone to market that a lot of the big pharmaceutical companies have backed away from investment in these drug treatments. So I don't really see any new drugs that are going to be a whole lot more effective coming into play in the next few years. And similarly with psychotherapies, you know, I think psychotherapies are really important and effective treatments, and they take a great deal of skill and training to develop expertise. But at its core, a psychotherapy is two people sitting in a room, you know, talking about the particular problems the patient has. It's hard to really see they're going to develop new forms of psychotherapy that are going to be a whole lot better than the existing ones. So I don't really see any magic bullets coming. And what I would like to see is maybe just better targeting of the treatment. So giving the people who are most likely to respond to medication being offered the medications. People who are unlikely to be offered medications not wasting their times with them and being offered other treatments, but we're not there yet.
How does the picture shift in terms of youth depression, in terms of antidepressants? Is there a whole different scale of effect going on there?
Yes. I mean, I think depression that emerges at least after puberty is continuous with depression in adulthood, as in often when you speak to adults who have the depression, you ask them when it started, they will say in adolescence, that's when they first had it. So it's the same illness in a lot of respects. But, you know, for reasons that we can only speculate has having to do with brain development, etc., the medications don't seem to be as effective in this age group. And I think the evidence for their being effective is arguable, and that's one of the research trials we're doing here at the moment, just trying to determine whether there is actually any advantage in combining treatments for young people with depression compared to them just having psychotherapy by itself. The other worrying thing in young people is that the medications in a small percentage, so it's only talking about 2 or 3% of young people, tends to be really agitating for them, to kind of wind them up and put them on edge in a way that increases their suicidal thoughts. And that's obviously, as a clinician, a really worrying side effect. I mean, especially in a tertiary service like here at Origin, when we're seeing, you know, very risky young people who are already feeling suicidal, the idea that you might be starting them on a medication that's going to make that suicidality even worse is a real concern to us. Fortunately, it's not a really common problem. It's a worrying one nonetheless. So those two aspects of treatment in of young people does worry us, the fact that they don't seem to be as effective, and they have these worrying potential side effects of causing an increase in suicidal thinking. The one part of the paper that I feel quite strongly about, and that's as a psychiatrist who isn't just focused on medications, who is interested in psychotherapy, is, you know, that the really effective therapies for depression, cognitive behavioural therapy, mm-hmm. and interpersonal therapy, were both developed by psychiatrists. So they both come out of, from a background of psychiatrists who are interested in psychotherapy. But that field has almost been vacated by psychiatrists. Psychotherapy really has been given up to psychologists and occupational therapists and social workers who do an excellent job with it. But I think it's a bit dispiriting to see that psychiatrists aren't really big players anymore. And I would really like to see that, you know, and for the same reasons I think that GPs and other doctors now focus on medication, psychiatrists have probably been guiltier than anybody. And, you know, I'd really like to see psychiatrists take more of an interest in psychotherapy again, and especially about how they can combine them with other treatments to deliver the most effective treatment.
Terrific. Thank you for your time.
Oh, good. Thanks.